You've probably been wondering why the name of this program is In the Beginning. Well, I'm Drew Hanniger, and I wanted to do a show like this just to let people know what happened in the beginning. And more importantly, to show how what happened in the beginning has something to do with you. Well, in the beginning, there was the earth with the plants, the animals, and there was man. But what is all this for? Why are we here? These are some universal questions. Well, in the beginning, God had a purpose in mind for all things. But what is this purpose? And what does it have to do with you? Well, we need to look at the very beginning of the Bible. And the very beginning of the Bible reveals to us what is God's purpose for man. And the beginning of the Bible reveals that God's purpose for man can be summarized with two words. Number one, image. And number two, dominion. In the beginning of the Bible, in the beginning of the record there, right in the first chapter, God is speaking and He says, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness." And then it says, "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the cattle, the birds, and the whole earth." So we have these two words, these two key words that describe why God made man. Number one, image. Let's write this on the board. First of all, we have the word image. And secondly, we have the word dominion. This little verse at the beginning of the Bible reveals to us why God created man. Number one, we were made in the image of God. Number two, we were created to have dominion. Now, what do these two words mean? First of all, we got the word image. What does image mean? Image is like a photograph. If I have a photograph here of a tree, and you look at the photograph, you see in the photograph the color and the form and the shape of a tree. You could say the photograph expresses the tree or represents the tree. So, image means to express. So, we were created in the image of God. Why? So that we could express God. So let's write this on the board. Express God. And in the same way, dominion means to represent God. So we have express God and we have represent God. Okay, these two words at the beginning of the Bible reveal to us why God created man. Image, to express Him. Dominion, to represent Him. Now, everything that is designed and built today, for instance, an automobile or a car, when it's designed, it has a specific purpose in mind, and that is a comfortable vehicle for travel. And like a car has parts and functions, you could say, in the same way, man has parts and functions. And again, the beginning of the Bible reveals to us what are the main parts or functions of man. And these three parts are, number one, man's body, number two, man's soul, and number three, man's human spirit. Let's put a little diagram on the board just to represent these three parts. First of all, we'll draw a large circle to represent man's body. This pen doesn't write too well, but anyway, I think you can see the circle. First of all, you have man's body. Secondly, we'll draw an inner circle to this, and that is man's soul. Man's soul. And thirdly, another inner circle to this, representing man's human spirit. Okay, in the beginning of the Bible, when God is describing how He created man, what He does is He says that He takes something from the earth, like dust or dirt, and it says that He forms man. Okay, then it says that God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This little passage shows us the three parts of man. Number one, the dirt or dust part represents man's body. Number two, we have the living soul, which represents man's soul. Then thirdly, we have the breath of life. Now, it says God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now, the phrase breath of life can also be translated the spirit of life. In fact, elsewhere in the Bible, the same little phrase, breath, is translated this way in a verse where it says, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord. So, here we have the three parts. Now, later on in the Bible, the Apostle Paul also mentions these three parts. He's praying about the sanctification of the believers, and he's praying that God would sanctify us wholly, that is, our whole being. And he says, spirit and soul and body. So even the Apostle Paul, later in the Bible, acknowledges these three parts of man. Now, what are these three parts for? Number one, of course, our body is for what? For us to experience and contact the physical realm. Okay? Secondly, we have man's soul. Man's soul is for us to contact the psychological realm. Now, man, the word soul, in the Greek, this word is where we get the word psychology. And so man's soul actually is man's psychology. Now, in the Bible, it even helps us to see what is man's soul. And in the Bible, man's soul is comprised of our mind for thinking, our will for making decisions, and our emotions for feeling things like love, joy, and peace, and so on. So we have these three parts of what? Our soul, our psychology, our mind, emotion, and will. Well, that describes man's soul. And God gave us a soul so we could experience what? The psychological realm, like thinking, like feelings, and like making decisions to do things. Okay, so we've talked about man's body, talked about man's soul. Now, why did God give man a human spirit? God gave man a spirit so that we could contact, experience, and enjoy God. You see, the Bible says that God is spirit. God is spirit. It's like saying God's substance is spirit. What God is made of is spirit. So if we want to experience God, if we want to contact God, and I would even say if we want to enjoy God, we need to use our human spirit. In fact, that same little verse says, God is spirit, and they that worship him, and you could say under worship, you could say contact, enjoy, or whatever, must do it in spirit, that is our human spirit, and in reality. So this is why God gave us a spirit. Now, I don't know if you can see it down here, but down here there's a table, and it's a wooden table. The table's made of wood. In order to see the table, feel the table, I need to use the proper organs, which is what? My senses, my hand to feel, my eyes to see. In the same way, the Bible says God is spirit. God's substance is spirit. If you want to see God, if you want to experience God, you need to use the proper organ. And the proper organ is our human spirit. Now, some people are looking for God in their mind. They're thinking, well, if I could only figure things out, I could find God. But listen, the Bible says God is spirit. And some people are looking for God in good feelings, beautiful feelings. And sometimes God comes in that way. But listen, God is spirit. And so in order for us to experience God, we have to use our human spirit. Now, God created us to what? Express him. And God created us to represent him on this earth. Now, how does man do this? Can man do it on his own? Do you think you and me can express God on our own? For instance, God is love. The Bible tells us that God is love. Is there somebody in this universe that you can't love? With me, I have trouble with some people. I find in myself sometimes the inability to love certain people. What is this? This is like a defect in me. This is my inability to what? Express God. Well, in the Bible has a good word to describe this problem that keeps us from experiencing God, that keeps us from what? Expressing God. And this word is called sin. And Paul has a very good definition of sin. Paul says, we all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. Now, what is God's glory? It says, we're falling short of God's glory. This means what? God's glory is simply the expression of God, to express God. So that means we all have sinned and fall short of what? Expressing God, which is God's purpose for us. For instance, an automobile, when it's not functioning properly, when it's not a vehicle for travel, then you're frustrated. And you wish you could go someplace. You're going to be late to work and you've got to pay money to get the thing fixed, and it's a big hassle. It's a big frustration. In the same way, when we're not functioning properly, we're frustrated. We're not happy. When we can't love somebody, when we're depressed and we're just out of it, we're not happy. You could say we're broken down. Well, listen, God has a provision for this problem. God has a provision for sin. And by the way, sin does not just include doing something evil or bad, because that's mostly what we talk about or think about when we talk about sin. Yes, it includes that. But listen, sin encompasses more than just doing something bad or evil. Sin encompasses what? The inability in ourself to express God. Sometimes we just can't do it. We're depressed. We're out of it. We just can't love somebody. Okay, now what is God's answer to this problem? What's God's answer to this dilemma? God knew this was going to be a problem for man. So what did God do? Well, God has an answer. God has a provision for this problem. And God's answer is Jesus Christ. Now, who is Jesus? I'm sure you've all heard about him. Maybe you've read about him. Maybe you've gone to church and read some Bible stories about him, and you know he's a historical figure about 2,000 years ago. But who is this Jesus? We need to see some very definite points concerning who Jesus is. Well, first of all, we're going to make a little diagram on the board here. And the first point we want to see is that Jesus is God. So we're going to draw a diagram up here. Way up in the heavens here, we have God. And God didn't just stay God, but God, according to the Bible, became a man. So we could say he came down to the earth and he became a man. Now, so that means Jesus is not only God, fully God, but also fully man. Now, he didn't just come as a man for 5 minutes and give us a few do's and don'ts and try to do the best you can and then take off back to the heavens. But listen, he came as a man, as a child, and he passed through teenage years, and he passed through adulthood, and he had a little 3-year ministry at the end of his life. So you could say he was here for about 33 years. Then, at the end of that life, he did something very interesting. He died on the cross. So we'll draw a little cross here. Now, why did Jesus die on the cross? Jesus died on the cross in order to deal with every negative thing in this universe, including the problem of sin, including the problem of our inability to do what we know we should do, including our problem of not being able to what? Express God, including the problem of the devil, including the problem of sickness. Jesus on the cross dealt with many negative things and more beyond what I've even told you. Then, after 3 days, as he promised, he didn't just die, but he rose from the dead in resurrection. Now, why did Jesus rise from the dead? Just so we could have Easter? Well, I think it's more than that. Listen, he rose from the dead to be able to impart into us his resurrection life. That is the life of God that passes through death. You see, Jesus went into death and he came out in resurrection. You know, when we're down or depressed or we're just out of it, we're really frustrated and we don't know what to do sometimes. Well, you know, the strongest negative thing that can happen to any human being is death. You know, you may not have time or ability or resources, or you just don't know how to do something, and you're kind of frustrated from it. But listen, once you're dead, you have total inability. Our Jesus passed through death into resurrection, and he wants to impart into us his resurrection life. That is the life of God that can pass through death. So that's very interesting that he rose from the dead. Now, after he rose from the dead, he also ascended. And when he ascended, it says that he became Lord and Christ. And it also said that he became what? Lord of lords and King of kings. This Jesus who was God, who was man, who died on the cross, who rose from the dead, is now what? Lord of Lords. You could say he has the highest management position, or has attained the highest executive position in the entire universe. Then, as he promised, he didn't just stay in the heavens, but he got poured out as the Spirit. And it says in the Bible that he became the life-giving Spirit. Why did he become the life-giving Spirit? Now watch this carefully. He became the life-giving Spirit so that he could get into our spirit. This Jesus now, who is God, fully God, fully man, lived on this earth for 33 years. You know, when he lived on the earth, I'm sure he passed through a lot of frustrating situations. I'm sure there were times that he wanted to lose his temper. But this Jesus lived a perfect human life. He died on the cross, rose, he ascended, he became the Spirit to get into our spirit. This is how God solves the problem of sin. Now, we have to use an example. And over here, I have a glove. And if you look at this glove here, this glove is made in the image of my hand. See, my hand has four things here and has one thing here. Well, this glove has got four things here and one thing up here, right? Okay, so this glove is made in the image of my hand. And this glove was designed to do things for my hand. But on its own, it's very flimsy. Yes, it looks like my hand, but if you try to do something with a glove, like pick up this pin, it's very flimsy. It doesn't have the ability to do anything. Well, a lot of times in ourselves, we don't have the ability to do what we know we should do. Well, listen, God never intended us to do it on our own. God intended us, like this glove, to be filled. You see, this glove, the best way to use this glove is to let the glove be filled with the hand. Then, not only does the glove more fully express the hand, but also we can do things, like hold on to this marker. Okay? In the same way, God created man to be filled with God so that man could what? Express him. And man could represent him on this earth. There's no way that you and I can love somebody that we just don't love. You know, we can try for a while, and for a while we can do it, but eventually our human love gives out, or else we don't even have any. Some of us don't have any, it seems like. But listen, when God comes in, we don't just get God as some kind of a guy telling us to do this and don't do that. We get God's love. When Jesus comes in, we get Jesus who what? Who is God, who is man, who died on the cross, who rose from the dead. Now, how do we receive this Jesus? Since we know it is God's purpose for man to receive Jesus, that is that Jesus would what? Live in our spirit. How do we do this? What do we do? Well, in John, the book of John, it says that as many as received him, to them they got the right or the privilege to become what? The sons of God. So, according to the Bible, it's very simple. You just receive him. Now, how do we receive this Jesus? Well, again, it's very simple. You just say, Jesus, please come in. In fact, there's a verse that says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I don't always like to use that word saved. But listen, saved from what? Saved from our inability to please God. Our inability to express God. We know we should love. We know we shouldn't be depressed, but we just can't get out of it. You know what I mean? Well, listen, when we call on the Lord, it says that he comes and he saves us. So it's so simple. You just say, Jesus, please come. Jesus, come right now. I need you. I need your wisdom. I need your patience. I need what you accomplished on the cross. How you dealt with every negative thing, even depression. Every negative thing you dealt with. Jesus, I need that right now. And listen, Jesus will come. You know, in this studio here, if there's a real person and they're really living and they're not asleep and they're awake and they're not real busy doing things and they're available, if I call their name, they probably would come up to this set here and help me. Well, listen, our God today, our Jesus today is real, he's living, he's available, He wants to come to man. He wants to come and help us. He wants to come and fill us. So that what? We have not our human love, our poor, failing, sometimes we can't even find it, human love, but we have the love of God. We have the love of Jesus. So, we need to call on this Jesus many times. Now, at the end of the program, there's an address you can write to. And please let me know what you think of this. And also, I want you to try an experiment. And let me know what happens when you try this. You know, George Washington, first president of the United States, he's a real person, but today he's not living. Suppose you call on his name, George Washington, come right now and help me. See what happens. See what happens. Try his name. Then try Jesus. What happens when you call Jesus? You see, Jesus today is not only a man that lived 2,000 years ago, but Jesus is the Spirit. And because he's the Spirit, he's so available. He's so real. He's so near and so available, and he wants to come and help us. We just have to say his name, Jesus. And what happens? He comes into our spirit. Now listen, not all the time do we feel him. Don't forget, our feelings are in our emotions. And eventually, Jesus will fill our emotions. And listen, we don't always think about him, you see, because he comes into our spirit. And eventually, he will fill our mind. But listen, we need to receive this Jesus. Now, in the Old Testament, King David had many experiences. If you ever read the Psalms, you realize many times he called upon the name of the Lord. In fact, many times he was being pursued by his enemies. He was in a lot of trouble and he didn't know what to do. And if you read those Psalms, you find out that he called on the name of the Lord, and he got what? He got the Lord as his salvation. Not just some eternal salvation in the future, but listen, David got saved right then. Just like you and I can get saved right now if we just call upon this Jesus. And other times, David had the experience that because of the enemies and the situation and the turmoil that was happening in the kingdom, he felt very insecure, you could say. And he just didn't know what was going to happen. And he wasn't sure if God was really going to come and do anything for him. And then you read those verses and he's down and he's discouraged and he's like he's ready to give up the whole thing. And then it says, all of a sudden these verses come in and says that he called on the Lord. And he said, "Oh Lord, you're my help. Oh Lord, you're this." And he just said, "Oh Lord." Of course, he didn't know, "Oh Lord Jesus." But anyway, he just called on the Lord. And what happened? He said it was like his feet were set on a rock. You know, a rock is something stable. You know, sometimes we feel very insecure. We feel very fumbly. We feel kind of wobbly in ourselves. You know, we try to hide it from other people. But a lot of times we feel this way. Well, listen, David had that experience too. And many times he called on the name of the Lord, and the Lord became like a rock to him. In his experience, in himself, he was sinking. And it was like, to him, it looked like everything was all over. Nothing was going to happen. But God came, and to David's experience, God was like a rock. Just stable, secure, unmovable. Even a rock is like protection. You can hide behind a rock from your enemies. So anyway, David had this kind of experience. Paul had this kind of experience. So anyway, I encourage you all to have this kind of experience. To do what? Jesus, please come and help me. Suppose you're in the middle of something. You know, even for instance, this little television program we're doing potentially was a real problem for me. Because in my natural self, I'm not that aggressive. And I'm even afraid to talk in front of people. And here I am with these three cameras staring at me in the face, and people are watching this thing, and I don't know what they're thinking. They're thinking good, they're thinking bad. I have no idea. And potentially, this could be a very dangerous situation for my psychology, for my soul. Consider it. Think about it. What would you do if you were up here talking like this? Well, anyway, listen. I've experienced today doing what? Just trusting in Jesus. Just relying on him. Just by what? Speaking his name. Jesus, you've got to come and help me. Jesus, I'm a little insecure doing this thing today. Can't you come and help me today? And listen, he wants to come. So I encourage you to have this experience. And listen, when you write in, let me know what you thought of these points that we have on the board here. Number one, image and dominion. which is what? God's purpose for man. Why God created man. And what did you think of these three circles here representing our body, our soul, and our spirit? These three circles represent what? The parts of man. Don't forget, our spirit was made for us to experience and contact God Himself, because the Bible says that God is spirit. Okay? So let me know what you thought about this. Also, let me know what you thought about this kind of crazy diagram here showing who Jesus is. And don't forget, when you receive Jesus, you get Him as God. You get Him as man with all His human living, His virtue, His wisdom, His experience. You get Him what? On the cross, dealing with every negative thing, even sickness. Also, you get Him what? Who rose from the dead. He rose out of death, out of bad things, you could say, or out of negative situations. And He's Lord of Lords. And today, He is the Spirit so available and real for us to enjoy. So let me know what you thought about this. So thank you very much for listening.